Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Welcome. It's good to see you all this morning. We are in week number 3 of our message series called Mastermind. Next week, as a matter of fact, I have a special guest joining us for the conclusion of the series, Pastor Gordon McDonald himself. The bishop is on the scene. He's going to land the plane for our Mastermind series, so we're looking forward to that. You know, this month we've been talking about mastering our thoughts so that the master can change our lives, because he's the only one that can. And I think the greatest battles that we will ever face happen right here in between our eyes. It's in our mind. And so the challenge is ongoing. And how we position ourselves, how we set ourselves up for training our thoughts and submitting them to Christ's mind determines whether we win in this life or not, win or lose. And so this series has been designed to do that. We've been looking at the Apostle Paul. He gives us this key in 1 Corinthians 2:16. It says, "Who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ," and we are going to need it. Believe me, we're going to need it. Now, before I jump into the word today, I want to echo what Pastor Brad talked about a little bit when it comes to the booth that you'll see in the hallway. Recently, Susan and I were in Bulgaria ministering to our missionaries, and we had an opportunity to meet with the director of People-to-People Ministries. Now, People-to-People Ministries is kind of the benevolence arm of World Missions Ministries, who we partner with around the world, and we're excited to partner with them in this Christmas Spirit campaign to provide parties, provide gifts for the kids that are in their sponsorship program. They're looking to take care of about 3,500 kids this Christmas. And most importantly, it gives them an opportunity to hear the gospel message, to hear the story of Jesus at Christmas. So we're excited to be a part of that. For over 2 decades, this group, People to People, has been reaching those that are hurting all around the world. When there's natural disaster, this ministry is there on the scene, feeding the poor, educating kids, providing medical care, literally to thousands of children over the years. And so it's great to be a part of this initiative that we're going to be partnering with this year. So for $25, as you heard, you'll get one of these great little ornaments. You can write your name or your family's name on it, hang it on the tree. So let's fill up the tree with everybody who's sponsoring these kids, and let's change some lives this Christmas. We have an opportunity to do that. And I'm also happy to report that last week, over all of our services, 14 people boldly stepped out into the waters of baptism and got baptized. So let's give them a big hand today. That's a fantastic thing. I think there's nothing more miraculous than a changed life. And I want to say, you know, we're not just praying for revival. I believe we're in the middle of one. Anytime you see lives being changed like this, it's a fantastic thing. Okay, turn with me in your Bible to the book of Ephesians, if you would. We've been looking at the writings again of the Apostle Paul in our series, because he was a man like you and I who struggled with his thinking, with his thoughts. And over time, he mastered his mind with the master's mind. But Paul wrote this letter in a prison in Rome. And you can imagine when you're in prison, in not great conditions, you have a lot of time with your thoughts. And so you have to manage them. You have to, with God's strength, allow those thoughts to not dictate everything that you experience, but to cling to a higher purpose. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12 says this. It says, "A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." So this is not a suggestion he's given based on feelings. It's a command based on truth. He says, "Put on all of God's armor," a very critical piece of armor. When you look at a suit of armor, there's many things that it does and protects, most of it in the defensive posture. But the helmet of salvation protects our head, protects our thoughts. You get hit in the head enough times and the body will fail. The body will fall. And it says, so that we can stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. In other words, our war is not with people, but against evil rulers and authorities of this unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So Paul is talking about the spiritual realm. Now, I really like the way the Message translation frames up these verses as well. Again, Ephesians 6, 10 to 12, in the Message translation, it says, and that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so that you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. I love that. A life or death fight to the finish. Dramatic and true. And so today in episode 3, we're going to be talking about the freedom that we can experience in Christ that comes through battle, through a level of warfare. And I've entitled this message today, War and Peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your spirit at work within us, within our spirit, within our minds. We pray today for the Master's mind, that you literally would transform our lives to be all that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, this past week, the British YouTube star KSI, he scored a split decision boxing victory against his internet nemesis from the USA. His name was Logan Paul. Now, some of you may not have even heard of these guys. And yet these two young men, both in their mid-20s, both making their professional boxing debut, both took home almost $1 million each for this battle. And it was actually over in about 6 rounds. And it was watched by millions of people. And I'm sure that the battle itself made some of the true boxing aficionados cringe a little bit, because it wasn't spectacular in style. It didn't really show off the best of this time-honored sport. But these two guys, whose YouTube content is often offensive, has given them a kind of a questionable following on YouTube for the clowning around that they've done over the years. But in the end, these two young influencers ended up doing what few could ever do. They packed out the Staples Center. It was like 20,000 people. They said that online, on pay-per-view, there was another 1.2 million people watching, and then another million plus watching illegal streams online. There was even a guy who watched the fight on pay-per-view with reflective glasses and then filmed himself live, and people watched the fight in his glasses. That's how many people were watching the fight. It was ridiculous. And so since then, since the fight took place, there's been another 19 million views online, making it the largest internet event in all of history. It's crazy, right? And yet people clamored for this. Now, for most people, it's nothing more than a kind of a top-tier publicity stunt that will kind of come and go. But it really demonstrates people's desire for a good fight, even though it's a bit of a trivial war for the online generation. Remember how Paul framed it up in Ephesians 6 when he compared fights just like this to the battle that we're engaged in. He says, this is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This war, this battle of the mind, is for keeps. It's a life or death fight to the finish. You know, over the years, the battle between good and evil has become the centerpiece in theater, in literature, and in films. It's how many stories, how many songs, how many situations have centered around this idea. But in most of these stories, the victory could go either way. Sometimes it's a split decision that only comes down to points. The closer the call, the more the drama, the better the entertainment value. But when it comes to the spiritual warfare that you and I are engaged in, our victory, the battle for our minds, really comes down to whose corner we find ourselves in. Now, if you've ever seen a boxing match, you'll see the corners where the fighters are is filled with people. When they stop fighting and retreat between rounds, there's a coach, maybe a couple of coaches. There's a medic. There's the water bottle guy, the towel guy, the mouth guard guy. Everybody comes in, and they're all trying to relieve their particular fighter and edge him on to victory. And for you and I, the real fight that's going on in our lives, it's not flesh and blood. It's not something that we need gloves for. It's happening right now. It's happening all around you. And it's not that physical fight, but it's a spiritual one. And the main event that we are a part of comes down to sometimes two opponents who are not as evenly matched as many people would think. If you think about it, in the battle between the creator and the creation, there's no contest whatsoever. You have to put it in perspective. So your success, my success in mastering my mind, has everything to do with whose corner we find ourselves in. Now, I'm not sure where the term spiritual warfare was first coined, but in my research, I've discovered kind of its origins mentioned as far back as the 1600s. But spiritual warfare itself is depicted, without using that exact term, back to the writing of the New Testament, which we've been talking about, as Paul stated in Ephesians chapter 6, when he told us to be strong, to stand, to suit up, to wear the armor of the Lord. And then again in 2 Corinthians, as we've been kind of breaking down over the last couple of weeks, I want to read it to you from the Message translation because it's very interesting the way it words this particular scripture. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6 says, "The world is unprincipled. It's dog eat dog out there, and the world doesn't fight fair. But we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have, never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for the demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture that we fight against. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers that are erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of a life shaped by Christ." I pray that that is your life. "Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity." So spiritual warfare is happening right now. You're in it. You will be in it. The only place where spiritual warfare will not be is in heaven. But on this earth, it is our reality. And spiritual warfare doesn't have to be some weird, confusing, overly spooky thing. And I think we need to be careful not to call every trial in our life spiritual warfare. Sometimes hardship is hardship. Sometimes a flat tire on your car is just a flat tire, not a demon on the road, right? Now, what you do with those moments can become spiritual warfare if you allow it to pull you into being overstressed or losing your cool or doing something that you shouldn't. But in and of itself, sometimes those moments are just difficult moments. But spiritual warfare can be recognized. It can be clearly labeled and endured through the strength that God gives us. We are in a spiritual world, and we are affected by that world every single day. That's just the truth. And so Paul says, be strong. In the Old Testament, God says to Joshua, be strong. Now, the definition of strength or being strong in this context is really all about a quality of mind that enables one to meet danger and difficulty with firmness and valor. I love that description. So his mind in us, his strength in us. 2 Corinthians 12:9, we see Paul pleading with the Lord regarding his own weakness, the thorn in the flesh. And then God's response is this. It says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." Have you ever felt unqualified, insufficient? Have you ever felt so weak in the face of something that just seems so much bigger than you? I think we all have had those moments. I remember early on in my walk with God, I was terrified to share my faith. He would say, "Oh, you need to be telling people about your commitment to Jesus. You need to look for opportunities to lead people to Christ." That whole idea early on in my walk with God terrified me. I'm like, what if I do that wrong? I'm messing with somebody's eternity. I don't want to say the wrong words. I don't want to do the wrong thing. And so for a while, because of fear, it prevented me from sharing the gospel. Now, fast forward all those years later, it's one of the greatest joys of my life, leading people to Christ. You see, sometimes we in those moments, are dependent upon our own understanding. We're dependent upon our own ability to make something happen. When the truth is, when I learned to just tell my story, when I learned to just talk to people about what God had done in my life, it opened up doors for people to go, you know what, I felt like that for many years. And I remember the first time that somebody says, you know, I'd like to receive Christ. And I'm like, oh man, this is it. It's going to happen right now. I better not break it. You know, I better not do the wrong thing. I better not say the wrong words or pray the wrong kind of a prayer. And before I knew it, I had led them in this prayer and they have tears streaming down their face. It worked, right? It worked. I was so excited. And so in that moment, his strength was perfected in my weakness. And yet what God has called us to do in reaching the unchurched and reaching the lost requires that every single one of us share our story, that we're available to Christ in those moments. You see, Joshua knew that the strength of God really came down to his presence, God's presence in his life. When God said to him, I am with you and I will never leave you, something changes in you. So when I shared my faith, when I told my story, when I prayed with people, I realized that I wasn't alone. That God was with me, that God was anointing my words. He was guiding me in the way that I should speak. You see, the only thing that Jesus has ever abandoned is the grave. He will never give up on you, never. It's a guarantee. He is with you at all times. We are in the corner of the champion. We're in the corner of the one who has already won the battle. See, the mind of the master is in you, so your success on the battlefield of your mind, experiencing victory in spiritual warfare will come through his strength, not your own. Not relying on your own ability to get yourself through those difficulties. And the truth is that when we fight one another, when we fight ourselves and battle ourselves in our mind, we lose our freedom. We lose our peace. Have you ever noticed that when you start to engage in warfare that is not spiritual warfare, but it's flesh and blood, or you begin to battle yourself, you begin to lose your peace. And the key element in true lasting peace is God's presence in our lives, is abiding in him. Isaiah 26, verse 3, Isaiah says to God, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. So Christ is our peace. His presence is the presence of peace within us. Ephesians 2:14 says, for he himself is our peace. He defines it. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart because I have overcome the world. The very thing that we are stressed about, he's saying to us, I've already overcome it. I've already conquered this. I've won that fight. So what is this peace, really? It's this inner sense of contentment and quietness, regardless of the circumstances that we experience in life. And we will experience a broad gamut of things, from things that are small to things that seem beyond our control. You see, that peace that we need is the steadfast confidence in an ever-faithful God who's always with us. It's the presence of joy even in the midst of unhappiness. True peace doesn't just dull our pain. Whoever has genuine, godly peace of mind can endure an avalanche of hardship when it comes. And when that difficulty is upon us, we can still enjoy a peace that surpasses all human understanding, the Bible says. Why? Because it didn't come from optimum circumstances or fun events or the great things or not so great things that people will say about you. Instead, it's based on the fact that the spirit of our holy, omnipotent, and never-changing God abides within us. Does enjoying God's peace in our hearts, having that understanding, mean that you'll never feel the effects of the storm around you? No. Obviously, you will experience those troubling moments. But his peace is so complete and sufficient for anything that you will ever face that it will always, always, always see you through. Now, keep these three keys in mind to experience sustained peace. And if you're taking notes, you can jot them down. And if you want the notes, you can log on to the website, even now, on your tablet or your phone, and the notes are right there listed for you so that you can further study them. Number one, the first key to experiencing sustained peace is to focus on God. You see, perfect peace comes when you fix your mind on Him. And we need to discipline ourselves to meditate in God's presence and His work within our lives. Hebrews 3, chapter 1, Hebrews 3, 1 says, "Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix or focus your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. In this life, your attention will be drawn in a million different directions." And so the thing that you can do, the thing that you can control, is where you fix your thoughts. So again, the things that happen in your life sometimes are just happening to everybody. You go out in the parking lot today, and it's raining on the just and the unjust. But how you allow those moments to affect you can become spiritual warfare. You can begin to feel down or depressed. Those are things that you need to take authority over in Jesus' name to begin to have His mind master yours. And that's not, again, an overnight situation. It is a lifetime of walking that out. You see, when you spend time concentrating on a problem all the time, it only seems to get bigger, right? It just gets out of control. But in the same way, you'll have a greater sense of God's presence and provision as you fix your mind and focus on Him. Number two, second key that we need to understand to experience sustained peace is to trust Him. Trust Him. You'll never have to worry about anything when it comes to God's timing, whether He'll show up too late or not provide enough help. We know that His timing is perfect. We know that His help comes in abundance. And that's something that we struggle with in our minds because it doesn't always line up with our schedule or our definition of full provision. But God knows what you need, and He knows when you need it. And He uses the challenges that you face in this lifetime, whatever they may be, to reveal more of Himself to you. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding." We do a lot of leaning. We do a lot of leaning in this world, and sometimes it's not on the right thing. We lean on our own understanding of the moment. We lean on other people. We lean on finances. We lean on relationships. We lean on substance. We lean on things that give us temporary peace. But until we learn to lean on Him, we will never, ever navigate this successfully because He's the one who's going to make those paths in our lives straight. The Word of God is full of incredible promises, rock solid promises, many of which involve granting His peace to you. And so you need to know deep in your heart that He will always honor those promises. And then finally, number three, we need to meditate on His Word. Your most precious material possession is your Bible. Did you hear me? It's your Bible. And someone said the other day that they're believing for a Bible revival in the church. I agree with that. I think we need to get back to digging into the Scripture. We're not just in need of more human opinion. We're in need of the Word of God. We're in need of its truth so that we can walk in that liberty. Walk. It's the Word of God that will completely transform you into His image. So we need to meditate on the Word. Psalm 119, 165 says, "There is such a great peace and well-being that comes," listen to this, "to the lovers of your Word." Are you a lover of His Word? I pray that you would fall in love with Scripture, that you will recognize that each and every day without it, we will never succeed. Every believer should love God's word and eat it up every day. And if you love it, you're going to believe it. You're going to believe what it says to you. And it will guide you and it will anchor you in this life. Now, over time, Paul learned to master his mind with the master's mind. And he experienced true freedom and peace that only comes through Christ himself. But listen, to have the master's mind, you must first know the master personally, right? It's a big step that you can't miss. It's not about being involved in a club that talks a certain way and listens to a certain kind of music. It's about an experience. It's about a heart change. And so today, for those of you that don't know the master, that you don't know Christ, I want to give you that opportunity to know him right now. And for those of you that have known him all your life, this is the moment when you need to be praying for those that don't. Listen, Calvary, the mandate and mission of our church is simple: to reach the unlost. It's to reach those, reach the unchurched, to reach the lost, those that don't know Christ. We are called with everything that we do to reach them with the good news. Romans 10, 9 to 10 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what does the Bible say? You will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? As you do, I want to give you an opportunity today to pray with me. And you say, Pastor Steve, I need to master my mind, and I need the master who can only, he's the only one who can do it. I need to know him personally. If that's you today, it would be the greatest joy of my life to pray this simple prayer with you. And the rest of us will pray it with you. But today, if that's you, as your head is bowed and everyone's eyes are closed, maybe you need to return to that commitment that you made so long ago. But maybe some of you are making it today for the very first time. And if that's you today, I want you to hear what I'm saying. Because right now, in this moment, decisions for eternity are being made. And my prayer is that you would make that decision, that you would follow Christ. So if that's you today, all across this building, if that's you, I want you to do something boldly. I'm not going to call you out or call you down. I'm not here to embarrass you. But I do want you to publicly make a statement. And in this moment of reverence, I want you to, all over this building, wherever you are, lift up your hand nice and high so that I can see it. And I want to include you in that prayer. If that's you, lift up your hand nice and high, and I'm going to include you in this prayer. Wherever you are, today is that day. You say, Pastor Steve, I want to make that commitment. Yeah, I see that. Thank you. Thank you for your hand. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Up in the back. Your heart's beating. Yes, thank you. Today is a decision that will change the rest of your life. To believe in your heart, to declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. To move through the war and truly experience the peace that can only be found in Christ. Is there anybody else that would put up their hand and say, Pastor Steve, please pray for me? Yeah, thank you. That's awesome. Thank you. So amazing to see these decisions being made. Remember what I said for those of you that have been praying for revival. You are in the middle of it. God is doing things, changing lives right now. All right, Calvary, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to pray this simple prayer with those that are perhaps praying it today for the first time or recommitting their lives. Would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on a cross for me. I thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Calvary, put your hands together and let's thank the Lord for all those decisions that are being made. You'll hear more about it in just a minute, but there's a yellow card in the seat pocket in front of you. It says, I have decided. If you have, then today make sure you jot down your name, your email, so that we can get you resources to help you grow in your walk with God. And jump into that Bible. Begin to develop a passion and a love for Scripture, because within those pages holds the keys to you living a life of abundance in Christ, living a life of freedom in your thoughts and victory in the areas that you've struggled with. And our church, everything that we do is designed to help you on that journey, to help teach you in our growth track. Every Sunday during the 12 o'clock or the 9 o'clock service, you have that opportunity to grow in your faith. And then you can serve on a team. You can use your gift. You can grow in your faith with a community of people that are heading in the same direction as you. God bless you.